Okay. You know, we saw last Sunday night how the simplest, easiest way to witness is to tell what you personally know about Jesus Christ. We talked about a witness, and I put Miss Joyce on the spot. She was a witness at Accord, and you know, what was asked? What did they want to know? They want to know what you saw, what you have experienced. And so that's what a witness for Christ is, someone who tells what they have personally experienced in their walk with Jesus Christ. We looked at the Apostle Paul's testimony and his witness before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26 and how his testimony was broken down into three parts. You remember that? His life before he met Christ, how he met Jesus, and his life since Jesus came in. We looked at the Bible because a lot of people say, well, I don't have a testimony like that, so undoubtedly I really don't have a testimony. But we looked at Scripture that says before we came to know Christ personally, we were lost, blind, wicked, dead, and an enemy of God. No matter if you were 6 years old or if you were 20 years old or 50 years old, before you came to know Jesus, according to Scripture, you were a lost, blind, wicked, dead enemy of God. And so, do you have a testimony? Certainly you do if you've been saved, if you've been born again. So we all absolutely have a testimony. But you know, and we talked about this last week, as time goes on after we're saved, and especially if you've been saved 20, 30, 40 years, that joy and that excitement and that exuberance for sharing the gospel kind of fades away a little bit. We seem to lose that joy. We seem to lose that excitement about telling others about Jesus Christ. And so tonight we're going to look at how we can have that joy restored. So at the top of page 2, notice with me in your session notes, your personal story. This is going to be a lot of you tonight, okay? I want to know, we want you to record what your personal story is. You're going to write out tonight, you're going to use that same three-part outline that the Apostle Paul used. What was your life before you met Christ? And again, you say, well, I was 7 years old or 8 years old. You still had a life before Christ. Now, there's not going to be as many experiences. Now, there's not going to be as many things that you're going to be able to share, but you still had a life before Christ. And so we want you to record that tonight. Now, before we begin to write, let me talk to you a little bit. Now, you're going to start out with, like, where you were born, where you grew up. You know, I was born in Rome, Georgia. What kind of family that you had? I was born into a Christian family. I was blessed to have parents that were Christians, and I was in church probably the day, the Sunday after I was conceived. I've been in church all my life, and so that's part of my testimony, you know, but people want to know that about you, and so you start telling a little bit about that and how your growing up years were. Share about if you grew up in a single parent home, if you, you know, all those kind of details that would be interesting to someone. Now, you're not going to dwell on those things, but you're going to share those kind of things, okay? Notice with me in the notes, the sidebar in your notes, it says, share some of your interest before you came to Christ. School, sports, music, college, career. Again, now this is your story, okay? And people are interested in your story. Now, you could, with a lot of people in the world today, you could say, okay, I want to talk to you about a passage of Scripture. I want to share with you a story from God's Word. And they wouldn't be near as interested if I come up to Brother Ken and I say, I would like to just share with you my story. Would that be okay? And so people are open to that. They want to know who we are and where we came from and, you know, what made us who we are. So tell those kind of things. Be careful, though, about talking a lot about spiritual stuff, because that doesn't resonate with the world. They won't know what you're talking about. People in the world don't know what it means to be born again. They don't know what it means to walk the aisle. They don't know what it means to have Jesus in their heart. Okay, so you got to be careful about using those religious words, those spiritual words, but just keep it very simple. But, and also, instead of dwelling on the bad things you did before you were saved, whether it was drinking, doing drugs, you know, whatever it might be, instead of dwelling on those things, share what you were thinking and feeling so more people can relate. Okay, in my personal testimony, there were some days in my years of rebellion where I partook of alcohol. And some of you will look and say, I cannot believe that about you. I would never thought that. Well, that was before I knew Jesus. That's when I was a lost, blind, wicked enemy of God. And so I did that thing. And so when I share my testimony, that may come out, But I don't dwell on that, because if I dwelt on it and I was sharing with Brother Brian and I told all this stuff, the only way Brian would be able to really relate to that is if he had the same kind of background, if he was in the world like that. But if we talk about our feelings and the things, that our emotions and the things that were going on in our lives, many more people can relate to that, okay? How the circumstances of life affected you. Now, again, I grew up in a Christian home. I'm thankful for that. And when I was 7 years old, I responded to an invitation to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't remember the passage, but I'm sure it was on hell, because that's what scared me the most. I thought, I ain't going to that place. And whatever I need to do to get out of hell, that's what I want to do. I want him a fire insurance. So I went down, you know, and I took the preacher's hand, and in a few weeks I was baptized. And you know, in my mind there for a while, I was okay, but I knew deep down that there wasn't anything real about that. And so when I got out in the world, you know, I got to experiencing some things, but my dad, and I love my dad, and most of you know my dad now is in the latter stage of Alzheimer's and don't remember anything about my childhood, any of his life. But anyway, my dad was a very strict disciplinarian, and he was also a perfectionist. And when you have a father that's a strict disciplinarian and a perfectionist, guess what he expects out of his son? He is very strict on him, and he expects you to be perfect. And you know, we can't be perfect, right? There's no way they can be perfect. So I grew up with these feelings of exasperation. Now, I was blessed to have been given some athletic ability. I was a left-handed pitcher, and so through the years, I developed into a pretty good baseball player. And so I knew that if I continued to improve, that I would, first of all, have a chance for a college scholarship. I would get my education paid for. And that really resonated with Dad, too, because Dad worked in a mill, and I think the most he ever made was about $10 an hour. He couldn't afford to pay for me to go to college, so that was a good thing. And also, I had been, as I was on up in my later teenage years, I was approached by a pro scout, and they said, we're going to put you on the draft list, and if you continue like you are, then you're going to be drafted and play some professional baseball. So that was my goal. But, you know, the harder I tried, the more I realized that I would never measure up to what my dad wanted for me. I could pitch a two-hitter. And my conversation with Dad would be, well, you know, son, when third inning, you had the bases loaded, and you grooved that one with 0-2 count, and the guy hit it up against the fence. You know, if it hadn't been for that, you know, you would have had a pretty good ball game. Now, I love my dad, don't get me wrong. But what that does in a child is that builds up feelings of exasperation, feelings of that, you know, I cannot do enough. I can't do enough. So as I share my story, I share some of those things, okay? And so we want to talk about how it made us feel. So if someone wasn't a baseball player, but something in their life led to exasperation, feelings of hopelessness, then they could relate to that. You see what I'm saying? So we're going to be communicating our feelings and our emotions and what was happening in our life and causing those things, okay? So that was a part of my life before I came to know Jesus Christ, and that's part of my story. Now, notice that I didn't focus on drinking, because I did do a little bit of that, but that I attributed that to the rebellion. You know, once I got out from under my dad, you know, I kind of went a little wild. But I didn't focus on that, because I don't want people to look at me and see that, and I don't want them to think that that's all there was in my life. I want them to know that there was those kind of things led to some things in my life that wasn't pleasing to the Lord. Okay. All right. So you ready? All right, so what I want you to do is write your personal story and just, now don't jump ahead. I know some of you, you're going to fly through one, you're going to jump two, and then you're going to jump three. This is just for one, okay? If I see you writing on two, you're in trouble. You're going to focus on one right now, all right? So during these next 5 minutes, we're going to be playing some very soothing music, and you just focus on your personal story before you came to know Christ, okay? You finished or not, stop right where you are, all right? We're going to move on now to how you came to meet Christ. What is it? How did you come to meet Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Before you start writing on that now, let me talk a couple of minutes. Now, everyone's experience is going to be different, okay? You may have some similarities, but everyone's story is different. It's unique to you, all right? So, but everyone must have had an experience with Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I've talked to people through the years and asked them, say, well, tell me about when you've been saved. And I've had people say, well, you know, I've just always been a Christian. You know, I was raised in a Christian home, and I've just always been a Christian. No, what they were before they came to know Jesus was a lost, dead enemy of God. But there has to be a time in our lives when we realize that we are sinner, we confessed our sin, we accepted what Jesus did on the cross for us. He paid the penalty for us when He died on the cross. We surrender our life to Him. So there has to be, that's going to be unique to everyone's testimony. You know, in Scripture, Jesus had a conversation with a man. This man came to Jesus at night. And this man probably knew more Scripture than everyone in here together. He probably tithed more than anyone here in this place. He probably spent more time praying than anyone else here. He knew the Old Testament law frontwards and backwards. He knew where every I was dotted and where every T was crossed. But Jesus said to him in John chapter 3, you must be what? Born again. You must be born again, Nicodemus. It's not about how religious you are. It's not about what all you've done. It's about the fact that you have been born again. You've been transformed within by the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, truly, truly, in John chapter 3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the Good News translation reads here, I am telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. Now, did Jesus ever not tell the truth? Come on now. Did Jesus ever not tell the truth? No, that's the right answer. No, Jesus always told the truth. Why did he say that? It was for emphasis. He wanted to make the point that Nicodemus, no matter how many law degrees you have, no matter how much you know the Mosaic law, no matter how many prayers you prayed, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. He was emphasizing the fact that no one we'll see the kingdom apart from being born again. You know, maybe one of my favorite experiences in Lawe Tambo was with a man named Urbano. I had talked to his sister, Ricardina, and Ricardina was 70 years old. And so we were doing vacation Bible school, and Ricardina, we had showed the Jesus film the night before, so she came in, and I was she wanted to talk to me and wanted to know. She raised Catholic like just about everyone else. They claim Catholicism. But Ricardina had some questions about the difference between the Catholicism and the way we believe, Protestantism, and so we talked about it, and I told her, I said, you know, it comes down to a point where we realize we're a sinner and we've surrendered our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been born again. And she said, well, I've done that. I have accepted Christ. He's the Lord of my life. I said, okay, great. She said, but I want you to talk to my brother. Said, his name is Urbano. Urbano is 80 years old. And said, he's never come to know Christ. And said, I want you to talk to him. So the next morning, she brought, I think 9 o'clock the next morning, we were doing vacation Bible school. And so Urbano and Ricardina came in. And so we went to the other end of the room, and they were working with the kids on this end. So we sat down, and I began to talk with Urbano and ask him a little bit about his life. And he was claiming, you know, he's raised in the Catholic Church and all this. And so he talked all the way around, and I said, well, Urbano, I said, let me tell you a story about a man named Nicodemus. And I told him the story of Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night. And I said, Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. I said, Urbano, have you ever been born again? And he looked at, of course, I was talking to a translator, and he looked at me, and he started again on Catholicism and his beliefs, and, you know, how he had always been in church, and, you know, he was very, when he was a child, he was in church all the time, you know, and all this, and he went full circle. So we come back, and he finally stopped, and I looked at him again. I said, Urbano, have you ever been born again? Well, here he goes off again. Here we go, Catholicism. He goes all the way the route. And so he came back, and I said, Urbano, I've heard what you're saying. But I said, Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I said, have you been born again? He said, no, and I want to be. So I had the opportunity right there to lead Urbano to Christ. But the story of Jesus and Nicodemus and how Jesus said you must be born again, and that's true for all of us. So we, as we write our story, we must relate that time when we've been born again. And we also must interject the gospel. You know, our testimony is our testimony, but our testimony does not save anyone. Do you realize that? How we came to know Christ doesn't save anyone. The gospel. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, right? It's not who we are and what we've experienced. It's the gospel. So we must have the gospel in our testimony. But again, make sure that you're not preachy or religious. Again, the people in the world don't understand that, okay? And make sure that you put the gospel in. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1 and then verses 3 and 4. Yes, we got it on the screen. All right, let's read that together. Now, I want to remind you, brothers, of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. What is that? That's the gospel. That's the gospel. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, He was buried, and He was raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. Now, we don't have to say real religious like, well, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 3, and 4, this is the gospel. No, just relate it in your own words. I realized that I was a sinner. And I realized that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, that He was buried, but He didn't stay dead. On the third day, He rose from the dead. That's the gospel. So we want to put that. So everyone's testimony about how you came to Christ is going to have the gospel in it. Because again, your testimony is not going to lead anyone to Christ, but the gospel will. So we want to make sure that the gospel is in the midst of our testimony. Okay? You know, I've had, I have probably communicated the gospel is that Jesus died for my sin. What's wrong with that? It's not complete, is it? If Jesus just died, that's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus died and then He rose again. So the full gospel needs to be in your testimony. It is the power of God for salvation. Now, when you and I share our testimony, listen to this. The purpose is not that we can share our testimony. The purpose is that we can share the gospel. But we're using our story in order to tell the gospel, okay? And I've never had anyone curse me out. I've never had anyone threaten my life. I've never had anyone to threaten me with bodily harm by telling them my story. And so people are interested in your story. You know, people aren't really interested in the Bible today. We're a postmodern world and people really don't care what the Bible says. But people are still interested in your story. And your story is a good story. And it's a story that God can use to share, that you can use to share through God's empowerment as the gospel is in the midst of that and it can lead someone to Christ. Okay? All right, again, don't move on to step 3. Work on step 2. I want you to write down my life, how I came to accept Jesus Christ into my life. Okay? All right. Even if you haven't finished, I'm going to ask you to stop right now. Turn to page 4. There we're going to see my life since Jesus came in. My life since Jesus came in. Let me share with you a few things before you start writing. You don't want to write just about changes in your behavior and habits, even though those things are important. But you want to talk about changes in your thoughts, changes in the way you felt after you came to know Jesus Christ. And you don't want to make yourself out to be perfect, all right? Because none of us are perfect, right? Well, maybe you are. I'm not perfect, okay? But I don't think we are. But you do want to make out yourself to be changed. For the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he's what? He's a new creation. That old things have passed away and all things have become new. So you may not be perfect, but you are changed. You're not the same person you used to be. You know, when a person goes from lost to found, from blind to seeing, from wicked to righteous, from dead to alive, and from an enemy of God to a child of God, change certainly will take place. Now, if you were 7 years old, the change is going to be a lot less than if you were 37 years old or 50 years old or, like Urbano, 80 years old. But there will be change, but just don't make yourself out to be perfect. Most importantly, you want to brag on Jesus. There's nothing worse than someone's testimony about how Christ has changed their life and all they're doing is bragging on themselves after Christ has transformed them. And we can't do anything on our own strength. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but apart from Him, I can do nothing. So we have to be, it's all on what Christ does in us. Okay, so brag on Jesus. Read with me Acts chapter 26 and verse 22. This is Paul writing. He says, to this day I have had the help that comes from God. And so I stand here testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass. I stand here testifying. I'm bragging on God. And that's what we need to be. Okay, you ready? All right, let's write. All right, stop right where you are. Now, you can take this home with you, of course, and finish it if you didn't get finished tonight, or you may want to tweak it a little bit or whatever. You really want to be able to share this in about 3 minutes. So I know, especially Diane Jones, it's going to have to be cut down a whole lot, because Warren says she's writing a book over there. He knows. But anyway, you want to be able to share this in about 3 to 4 minutes. All right, this is what I want to do now. I want someone who has never stood up and said anything in church to stand up and just share what you've written. And not ad-libbing. I don't want you to ad-lib. Just share what you have written, and it'll be obvious if it's not complete, and that's okay. But I just want someone who's never stood up and said anything in church to stand up and share what you wrote. And you can read it word for word, okay? And I will not be intimidated by silence. Who's going to be first? You've never stood up and said anything in church. The reason we're doing this is to encourage you. If you say, well, I'm just shy and I just can't do this at all. Yeah, you can. So I want someone to, who's going to be first? Darling, let's give them a hand, those that share. All right. I wish we had time for 4 or 5 more, but time has gotten away from us. But all right, now the question is, what do we do now? Right? We've written out our testimony. Let me just tell you again, you're going to take that home with you. You're going to try to shorten it. You want to be able to share it in 3 to 4 minutes, okay? And again, simple outline, my life before I knew Christ, how I came to know Christ, how my life is different. There's some notes on the border there in your handout, and those will help you writing that as well. But take this home, work on it a little bit, and get it where you can share it in about 3 minutes. But make sure, again, your testimony is not going to change anyone's life. It's the gospel that saves lives. Make sure in the center of that you communicate there was a time when you realized you were a sinner. You realized that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, that He was buried, He was resurrected. I accepted Christ in my life and surrendered my life to Him. Okay? All right. So here's what I want you to do. You know, the Bible says that James says, and we saw this last week, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. So we want to know what we need to do now. I want you to make a commitment to share your story before next Sunday with 2 people. Okay? 2 people. And I'm going to give you the easiest way in the world to do this. You can say, we got this crazy guy at church, and he's told me that I've got to share my story with 2 people. Would you allow me to share my story with you? And you can read your story. Okay? It don't get no easier than that. All right? Just make a commitment that you're going to share with 2 people. You can take your outline with you. You can read it word for word. And I'm not asking you to do anything after that. Okay? Now, they may ask you some questions. They may want to go into it a little deeper. If they don't, you're finished. Okay? All I'm asking you to do is just be willing to share with 2 people this week. Okay? All right? Can we do that? I think we can. Okay. Now notice with me on the bottom of page 5, knowing it is my responsibility to witness for my Lord Jesus, I will share my personal story of receiving Jesus Christ as my Savior with at least 2 people this week. Okay? And again, just ask me, will you do me a favor? Can I share my story with you and share it with them, okay? And you may not need to do that, but if you've never done it before, that's an easy way to get into it and be able to share, all right? Okay. So I'm asking you to do that, share it with 2 people. And if you're willing to do that, I'm asking you to sign your name at the bottom of page 5, put today's date, February the 26th, 2017, out beside it, okay? So sign your name, and at today's date, February the 26th, 2017. I'm going to be praying for every one of you this week that you will fulfill that commitment. God will give you the strength and the courage to do it. And the next week, we're going to be talking about fear. I'm going to give you 7 biblical principles how to overcome fear when it comes to sharing your story. Okay? So that don't miss next week. But right now, I want you to commit to share with 2 people this week your story. Okay? And I'm going to pray. And you know, I shared last week, and we got to go. But I shared last week that when I do counseling, when I've done marriage counseling, and when I did a new members class at the church where I used to pastor, I asked people to write out their personal story. And I've had at least 2 people come to me and say, you know what? When I was forced to write out my story, I realized I didn't really have a story. It was all about me, and there'd never been a time when I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, accepted His payment on the cross for my sins, repented of those sins, and surrendered, giving Him total control of my life. And so that may be true here tonight. So we haven't had an invitation up until this night, but tonight I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then I'm going to have an invitation and just ask you to come as God's Holy Spirit leads you. You may be in that situation here tonight. If you are, then I would ask you to come. And there's no time like the present to accept Christ. And you know what? What a great testimony. You know, you'd be able to go out and share and say, you know what? We had every believer witness at my church, and I realized as I started writing my testimony, I didn't have a testimony. I surrendered my life to Christ, and I've been living for Him ever since. What a testimony that would be. So if you're here tonight, you may just be, God just may place something else on your heart. You may need to come and pray at this altar, but whatever. Mark's going to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation after I pray, and then I'll ask you to respond. So Father, we just thank You, Lord.